Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today's date is Wednesday, September 2nd, 2020. Today we're reading from the Big Book and we are on page 3 of Bill's story, paragraph 1. It begins with, for the next few years. This is the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. If I didn't mention that before. Today's readers are Lorraine N. on the 12 steps and Audrey M.P. on the 12 steps, Rhonda R. on the 12 traditions, and Lorraine M. N. will be our first reader reading the contact for us today, and then Faye B. We'll close this out. Pam M. is here for backup. Thank you. Wendy B. is going to greet our newcomers, and then Leslie M. has some important announcements for us at the close of the meeting. DOA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. So I will now ask Audrey M.P. to please read the 12 steps. Star 1 to unmute. Audrey?
Good morning. This is Audrey M.P. And I'm a compulsive overeater and recovered bulimic. And these are the 12 steps. 1. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Audrey M.P. And I'll now ask Rhonda R. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, Elaine. This is Rhonda R., grateful and recovered in Georgia. These are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for the chance to do service today.
Thank you so much, Rhonda R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we do ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are reading what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted using star 1, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are in Bill's story on page 3, in the first paragraph, which begins with, for the next few years. And I will ask Lorraine N. to please begin reading.
Hi, good morning. Lorraine N., compulsive eater in Oregon. For the next few years, fortune threw money and applause my way. I had arrived. My judgment and ideas were followed by many to the tune of paper millions. The great boom of the late 20s was seething and swelling. Drink was taking an important and exhilarating part in my life. There was loud talk in the jazz places uptown. Everyone spent in thousands and chattered in millions. Scoffers could scoff and be damned. I made a host of fair weather friends. Well, in the column I have written ego and false pride, and I have a lot of this underlined, particularly I had arrived. that is so me. I shared the other day that, I married young, outside of my race, my family disowned me, and, you know, the kids, I put my two boys in the car one day, and I moved to California from Boston to a friend's house, and, oh my God, and I established myself there as, well, I was a hairdresser, and then I opened a salon in this little town in California, and I bought a little house a few blocks from the ocean, and, we were wining and dining, and I was making enough money to do that, and food was a huge part of it, you know. I lived in an area of the Central Coast, which was becoming the new wine country, so everybody was a wine connoisseur, and wining and dining was huge, and I could afford to do it, and it was exhilarating, and it was a high. For years, I did that, and, I thought I did it. I thought I achieved that house. I thought I achieved the salon. I did it. And, you know, I believed in God. I was raised Catholic. I believed in that God. And, no, I mean, I God was really not involved in those choices. I just was on a mission to prove to my father, especially, and my family and the rest of the world that I could make it on my own with my two kids. And so I acquired a bunch of stuff and even a second house, and I lost all of that. Everything I worked 40 years for, and I ended up in this program 4.5 years ago. And that was the beginning of my recovery. I first got sober, and then about 2 years ago, I discovered visions. I was led to visions. and my life began to change when I started hearing the recovery on this line. And then, you know, 7 months or so ago now, I got a sponsor in this program, a Visions sponsor, who's read the big book with me one paragraph at a time. And man, my life began to change exponentially. And looking back over these last 7 months, I really see it and how my program has just evolved, and helped by the pandemic, by the way. I just immersed myself in the program and started sponsoring, you know, and I'm still sponsoring several people, and I will always sponsor people because it's the biggest joy of my life, much to my surprise, is carrying this message, because it works for me. It worked for me, and it continues to work for me. And so little by little, I'm humbled, and my ego is getting squished and smashed more and more all the time. And I am so grateful for this opportunity to share a little bit this morning and read. Thank you very much. God bless. I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Lorraine, and great way to get started here. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you'd like to comment on this powerful paragraph, we invite you to do so. Just press star 1, give me your name and the first initial of your last name, and we'll start a lineup.
Rick J.
E.
Danielle W.
Bruce E. Somebody J. and Danielle W.
Maria R.
Maria, and who was two at the last
Maria
initial?
Maria R.
I heard you, Maria R. Thank you so much. And who had the last initial of J?
Rick.
Rick J. Okay, I have room for two more if anybody else would like to jump in this lineup. Okay, well, let's go ahead with
Santa H.
Up, Santa H. Thank you, Santa. All right. We've got Bruce E., Rick J., Daniel W., Marie R., and Santa H. Please go ahead, Bruce. You'll be followed by Rick J.
It's Bruce E. I'm recovered in Florida, and I love this reading. I like all of Bill's story and the doctor's opinion. And, yeah, the first one that really hits me is what I heard to in a previous share is I had arrived. And I'm saying that less than I used to say it and think it. One thing is I never arrive, do I? I mean, I'm always evolving, you know, in this spiritual program. When I work for the company I retired from, this is going back 20 years ago, maybe longer. I was on a sales hiring team for a while, just for a short time. Anyway, they give you, nobody knows, you know, what you're supposed to ask a prospective person to work for the company. And so they give you like pages of questions that you can ask somebody. Like, have you ever been rejected, and how'd you feel about it? What'd you do about it? You know, stuff like that. And we just remember those questions and sit there and look the person right in the eye and ask those questions and see what we think about them. So that was one of the questions. Have you ever felt like you arrived? And I'm thinking about this. How many times when I got started in business 30 years ago, I was on commission, And man, when I got a couple of big sales, I would go to think to myself, I have arrived. I've arrived. I'm there. I got it. I got this thing. And then the next thing I knew, man, that deal would fall through or something would fall through or I'd try for the next sale. And I kept, then it wouldn't happen, you know. And then I'd be at the bottom having to work my way, scramble to the top again. Well, drink was taking an important and exhilarating part in my life. Yeah, the food started out pretty good. You know, it was working pretty good in the very beginning. It's a pretty good deal. And then the food was taking an important and exhilarating part in my life. So, you know, but I was still handling it, right? It's taken a big part of my life. It's still handling it. I hadn't gotten to the point where I was given the gift of desperation. That didn't come for a while. That took a long time to come. And Bill's talking about how great things were. Everybody spent in thousands and chattered millions. I made a host of fair weather friends. Well, that's a friend that comes when things are good, right? And when things start getting pretty tough.
That's a reminder.
That person isn't a friend anymore. So thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you for your share, Brucey. Rick J., you're up next, and you're followed by Danielle W. Please go ahead, Rick.
Good morning. My name is Rick J. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in North Carolina, but not cured. And yeah, just I'm going to jump on the I had arrived train because, you know, and what really made this stand out to me so much to make it sort of a powerful bookend was, you know, when we read on the previous page, you know, that the drive for success was on, but even more so, I had to prove to the world I was important, you know, and that was me, you know, me. I was broken, and there was a part of me that did not know how to live, you know, just with the emotions that I had in a healthy, constructive way. And when I first got into the food, you know, I all of a sudden I discovered that it changed the way I felt. You know, albeit briefly, and before it took me down, you know, a very dark and twisted road of emotional pain and desperation. You know, there was a time when, you know, it did enhance me. It made me feel better. It was, you know, it was like my higher power. And so here I've found something that changes the way I feel, you know, early on. And then as I kept growing and I started evolving and changing, of course, my ego, my emotions, you know, my feelings, everything, my drive, just normal human emotions were under this twisted lens, you know, of what I thought would work for me. And, you know, and I was living in a world of selfishness and self-centeredness, you know, and as it reminds us later on in the book, you know, it's that's the root of our troubles, you know. And I was driven by 100 forms of fear and self-delusion and self-seeking and self-pity, all these self, you know, self, I that we see, you know, to sprinkled all about these pages, you know. And so when I did find success, you know, here was validation for everything that my self-will was doing, you know, and how I got there, it really didn't matter. I mean, I was determined, you know, to prove to the world I was important because I needed to feel important. I mean, I had to be better than you to feel equal to, and I did that at every cost. And as the emotions kept roaring, you know, to life, you know, that I didn't know how to handle, then I would keep going to the food. I mean, it was just between the mental obsession bringing me back to the food, the physical allergy that, you know, triggered, you know, that phenomenon of craving was going on. And then the selfishness and self-centeredness, you know, was creating a life that, you know, was just really affecting the lives of others, you know, having a very negative impact on it. And I didn't care, you know, scoffers could scoff and be damned. You know, I was there. I had arrived. I was doing what I set out to do. I was proving that I was important, and the way it was affecting me, the cost that it had for me and others, I did not care. And thank God, you know, that's not me today. You know, I don't live that kind of life. And
this was
a very powerful paragraph. And thank you for letting me share. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Rick J. Danielle W., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Marie R. Please go ahead.
Hi. Hi, I'm Danielle W., compulsive overeater in California, and really grateful to be here. I have read the big book a number of times. I have never really, really let this seep in, and it has really illuminated something really profound for me this morning. You know, I, as everyone has mentioned, you know, I had arrived. I mean, that was a big one for me. I had to be really important, and I had other people to see how important I was. But also, you know, drink was taking an important and exhilarating part in my life. Everyone spent in thousands and chattered in millions. And, you know, I was a very, very judgmental person, you know, and I prided myself on being so fiscally responsible, you know, and I would judge others for spending lavishly. But the truth was, there was no restaurant I wasn't willing to, you know, spend my money at. There wasn't a meal too expensive that I wasn't willing to pay for. And it was, for some reason, that was a status symbol for me, that I could go to these places, you know, it meant that I was as good as. And it was a way for me to treat myself, celebrate my success, whatever it was, you know. And I look now and, you know, I mean, I'm not where I want to be financially, you know, but it never occurred to me to rein in spending when it came to food. And, you know, I think back, my poor daughter, you know, there were years when she was young and, you know, she'd have schoolwork or she'd be tired, and I would drag her out to that next restaurant, you know, five nights a week. You know, we had, that was part of our life. So it's really, it's very illuminating. You know, I have to get honest and really look at my own behavior where food is concerned, because as soon as I'm in the grips of my addiction, all reality goes out the window, you know, and I just don't see clearly. And for that, you know, I'm so happy to be here today and to be learning yet again the depth of my illness. So thank you for letting me be here and share, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Danielle W. Marie R., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Santa H.
Good morning. This is Maria R., compulsive overeater in New York City. And the section that spoke to me this morning is, drink was taking an important and exhilarating part in my life. There was loud talk in the just places uptown. I met my boyfriend about 25 years ago, and I was at normal weight then. And he introduced me to restaurant eating. I mean, I had been to restaurants before, but not in the way he does it, and going out and ordering a lot of things and sharing stuff. It was great. And I loved that style of eating. And not only was I eating a lot when I was going out with him, but also that triggered binging at home. And I started eating a ton of food at home as well as when I was going out. And during that process, I gained more than 100 pounds. And I was in total denial how serious this eating disorder situation was. I was just having a good time. So thank God I found this program, and I became abstinent. And I have lost about half the weight, so I still have a long way to go. But I'm very, very happy with this process. And I love this meeting. I really love the recovery and the strength of all the shares. I'm learning so much. So thank you so much for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you very much, Maria R. Excuse me, and Santa H. You're up next, and then we'll take, excuse me, another lineup. We are on page 3 in Bill's story, and we're commenting on the first paragraph for the next few years. Please go ahead, Santa.
Good morning, my fellows. My name is Santa H. I'm a grateful compulsive overeater, living in a solution one day at a time, calling in from New Jersey. And this here is where the disease starts to get extremely progressive. On page 2, we read that the potential alcoholic that I was, and now he's gone from drinking now becoming an important and exhilarating part of his life. So Bill is talking back on how the progressive the disease will, and we'll see more of that before he take a huge dive. And so he's, you know, things are going good, you know, like he's saying, no, Helena for me, Alba for me. And so, you know, I can relate to this. There are many times in my life I thought I had arrived, or when someone else arrived, or someone else was celebrating, you know, food was always around, was always there during all celebrations for me. And I just saw myself getting heavier and heavier and heavier. And I kept justifying it and coming up with excuses why I was gaining this weight and realizing how important food has become a part of my life. And I also, had made fair weather friends. And the only time we were together was when there was food being served. And I know a lot of people that I associated with, buffet restaurants, but a place where we would go and we would pig out. And now that I don't do that anymore, those people are not around and not in my life. And even when I hit rock bottom, they weren't there either. So I began to learn earlier on the difference between a true friend and someone who was just there for the ride and for the excitement that was going on and the celebration that was going on. So food in my family was love. It was a way we show our love towards each other. It's a way we celebrate it. And we're just going to now continue to see the progressiveness of this disease as he reaches bottom, which was so important for me. I needed to, in order for me to see. I needed to feel the pain in order to change. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Santa H. Pain certainly is a great motivator. So though we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might have a chance to share their experience too. So if you'd like to comment on this paragraph, please give me your name and the first initial of your last name.
Kathy K. This is Catherine B.
Kathy K. and Catherine B.
Christine M.
Christine M. We have
Penny L. C.
Penny L. C. And we got room for one more, I believe. Oh, I didn't quite get that. Who was that? Thought I heard. Okay, so I've got Penny L. C., Kathy K., Catherine B., Christine M., Penny L. C., and I heard one other voice, and I wasn't sure who that was. So let's go with this lineup then. Okay, so Penny C., you'll be first, and you'll be followed by Kathy K. Please go ahead, Penny.
Hi, thank you so much. I think it's Elaine, right?
Yeah, it is. Hi.
Yeah, yeah. Fellow Massachusetts. My name is Penny C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live just south of Boston. And my moment of arrival, everybody's talking about pretty much about that one short sentence, I had arrived. Way back when I was still in my late 30s, I went to probably the most famous diet club, lost a bunch of weight, got down way below the goal they gave me because I had to be the best dieter, you know, and that's what it was, a diet. And then I was asked to work for the company, and I became what they called us then, lecturers. And my regular meeting that I led was 75 people every Tuesday night. And I would stand up there in my little size fours, and I would say so often, I will never be fat again. Now here I've got this wonderful diet, and that's all it was a diet. And, you know, God had no part in any of the success that I thought I had. And, oh, I was just, you know, admired, and I was told that, oh, you're so thin, you look so wonderful, and you inspire us. And I had to stop working for that company when my daughter got asthma, and I had to bring her into Boston sometimes twice, three times a week to see a very important specialist. And so it wasn't until probably 6 or 7 years later that God led me to OA. And what I realized when I got there is that, I'm going to quote from page 14 of Bill's story we'll be coming to. Simple but not easy. A price had to be paid. It meant destruction of self-centeredness. I must turn in all things to the Father of Light who presides over us all. In my days of being that diet club lecturer and standing on a pedestal, figuratively, you know, I never thought of God being there, or God being the Father of Light, or asking God for help. And so, of course, I was, you know, that weight loss and that success I thought I had was not lasting. Diets hardly ever are lasting, if never, for a real compulsive overeater like I found out I was. And so today, I don't put myself on a pedestal. I don't want anyone else to do that. Thank you. And you know, it's all about giving God all the credit, and I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Penny C. Kathy K., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Catherine B. Star one to unmute, Kathy. Kathy K.?
Okay. Kathy K., can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thanks. Sorry, everyone. Kathy K., recovering compulsive overeater in Northern California. You know, the idea of feeling like you are, you know, arrived. For me, that actually happened when I first came into OA 20 years ago. And, you know, I got abstinent then, which was what it was at the time. And I was around 400 pounds, and I lost 180 pounds in about a year and a half. And I had never gotten positive attention for my body before, for my body size, or for being pretty. And so I, you know, it was like every compliment that I got, as good natured as it was from people in and outside of program, was like a little bicycle tire pumping up my ego with my head with air. And my ego was getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And finally my head exploded. And I picked up the food again, because I wasn't God-centered in any way. It didn't stick. So it wasn't God-centered. And so, you know, now that I'm doing visions and I'm the vision group and I have a sponsor and I'm working the steps, I truly want to smash that ego, as someone had said, and really make the spiritual recovery the foundation of my program. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kathy K. Catherine D., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Christine M. Star one to unmute, Catherine. Catherine B. Star 1 to unmute, please.
This is Catherine B. I'm sharing for the first time, and I've heard all these people talking and in reading this paragraph, thinking I have arrived is very dangerous. I'm only a little over a month fully abstinent, and I see how very much I have to learn. Thanks to A Vision for You and listening, I am learning what is going to keep me abstinent and what is going to be pitfalls if I fall into the ego and the false pride. So I appreciate being allowed to speak and being on this meeting and for all those that welcomed me as a new member a while ago. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Catherine D. Great to hear you today. Christine M., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Penny L. C. Please go ahead, Christine.
Hey, my beautiful Elaine. This is Christine M., compulsive overeater. Grateful to be here. Grateful to be living in recovery another day. For me, you know, I see the progression of Bill's addiction. I also see the progression of his ego, and I could see how my ego had progressed through my life and that I had arrived. I didn't know how to live any other way. How I lived was, I'm either the best, and if you do something, I'm going to top what you do, or if you got something wrong or something going on, I'm going to top that. If it's something good, I'm going to top that. And if it's something bad, I'm going to top that. You know, I'm either the best in the room or the sickest person in the room. And I didn't know any other way. And I don't have to beat myself up for not knowing any other way. But what it is for me, that's ego. It's just, you know, it's pride both ways. And you know, it's the other one is pride and the other is pride in reverse, like the 12 and 12 talks about. And, you know, I live for that. I get attention and, you know, praise if I did something good. And then I'd have people pat me on the head and say, oh, you poor baby, if, you know, there was something going on. And one of my biggest fears when I went through the steps, when four and five was being average. I was so scared of just being average and being one among many because I've had this fear since I was a little girl that if I'm not at the top of the heap or if I'm not underneath it, I'm not going to be heard. I'm not going to be loved. I'm somehow going to be abandoned if I'm just, you know, blending in with everybody else. And that got me in a whole lot of trouble, you know, in recovery and outside of recovery. And, you know, I've never arrived. There's always more growing to do. There's always more learning to do. And, you know, there is success in my life in areas, but it's God's success. It's not anything that I can take credit for because food was the center of everything. And my ego was the center of everything. And the more that I grow in these steps and closer to God, you know, God is becoming the center of everything and not food. And, you know, I have to, you know, that it's about that process of constant ego deflation for me, you know, that I get through the work of the steps, you know, the gentle nudges that I get from God, that I get from not my fair weather friends, but my real friends who speak truth to me in love. In compassion, and can call me out when I, you know, am getting a little bit too out there, you know, whether it's better or worse, you know. Thank you so much, Elaine. So I'm just grateful to be here, and I'm grateful for this story, and that I can identify in and see the transformation that's happening within me and be grateful for it and give credit where credit is due. Thank you, God. That's all I have.
Thank you very much, Christine M. And after Penny LC, we will have time for a couple more shares. On page 3 in Bill's story, the first paragraph, which begins with, for the next few years. So please go ahead, Penny LC.
Thank you, Elaine, for your service, and good morning. And good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And it's really hard for me these days to read this paragraph and not see my truth. And yet I know I was delusional at the time. Today I can see how insecure I was. And my arrival was only based on what other people thought of me. If I was getting compliments, then I had arrived. But because of that insecurity, the only thing that really shored me up was the food. And I wasn't comfortable within my own skin. And so the food was the escape mechanism. But then I would still crave the acknowledgement from others and the compliments and the praise. So people-pleasing was the other large factor in my life, but it was always the food that was the solace, that was the comfort, that was the true friend, so to speak, but not really. Boy, I am... Speaking of friendship, I am so grateful for the friendship in this program, for the support that we give each other, for the truth that we speak to each other, and for knowing that it's not going to be fair weather. It's going to be real, and it's going to be meaningful. And when we connect at the heart, because we understand each other, and we get where we've come from, and we get where we want to be. We know that God is in the center of that. Our higher power is in the center of that. And I am so grateful to understand that and to be walking this journey with all of you. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Sherry KB.
Penny LC.
Oh, Penny LC. Thank you for correcting me, Penny LC. I appreciate that. Okay, we do have room for two more shares. If you'd like to share, if you haven't shared in the last couple of days, we'd love to hear from you today.
Laura T.
Mark L.
And Mark L. Okay, great. Let's go with that. So we'll have Laura T. first and then Mark L. Please go ahead, Laura T.
Hi, I'm Laura T. I am a compulsive overeater. Just this morning in listening to everyone's shares and in reading the big book again, I have come to think of my I have arrived moment quite differently than I did before. Mine happened a couple of years ago and then set me on a path of binging and trying to please so much and trying to be what everybody expected of me and thought I should be. And about a year and a half after that, after binging completely out of control for all that time, I found OA, and that led me to not another diet, not another, oh, let's lose this 60 pounds really fast, feel really great, and then let it creep back on, but to something I needed, which it's turned out the weight loss is only one portion of. I needed the spiritual revamp and emotional revamp much more than I needed to lose the weight or need to lose the weight. And I'm so grateful that OA has brought me to that and has shown me through my higher power the three areas that needed to be right, to be done over, the physical, emotional, and spiritual. And so I think of my I have arrived moment not as something terrible that brought me to this breakdown and this horrible weight gain and feeling so terrible about myself, but as something wonderful now
that has brought me to my higher power and brought me to this journey of becoming and being the best version of myself. And I'm so much happier now and have not felt this way for my entire adult life. So with that, I will pass and thank you.
Thank you, Laura T. And Mark L., you are up next. Please go ahead. Mark L., star one to unmute.
Hello. My name is Mark. I am a compulsive overeater and glad to be here another day to draw life on life terms. Man, we had a lot of good cheer. And a couple of y'all touched on that ego. What we used to say years ago, acting God out. If I do that, I'll be in trouble. I can't. If I had God out, I had this fellowship out, and I don't want to because of too many people look up to me or they tell me they need me. Like I said too, I need y'all, and I need God and the fellowship over here in Thomas. If I didn't, I'm gonna work that, go back out there and kill myself, and that's how it will be. I will surely die, and God is part of my life, and this fellowship is too. Without it, I surely would die. I want to stay here to the rest of my life, and I am going to stay here the rest of my life. Thank you for allowing me to cheer. Everybody had a blessed and a wonderful day today. Thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you very much, Mark L. We're very glad you're here. We had a couple quick shares, so we do have time for a 1-2-minute share. If somebody would like to jump in and take that spot. Anybody want to do a quick share?
This is Audrey M.P. in Santa Monica.
Please go ahead, Audrey M.P. Thank you so much.
Hello, Team Wednesday, and I just want to give a shout out. I mean, I love the reading. I love the shares. I love how I'm inspired by you, and I love that this is my first commitment to vision, and I wish I'd get better at doing my 10 steps so that all this richness can really work and help me to be clear with my food. And that's just my quick shout out. And thank you, everyone, and have a good day. Bye.
Thank you so much, Audrey M.P. and everybody who has shared. And thank you for the sweet fellow who let me know that I forgot to give you the reference numbers for yesterday's meeting and for this morning's meeting. So the reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, and that would be for Wednesday, for Tuesday, September 1st at 10 a.m., the reference number is 15258. That's 15,258. And the reference number for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Wednesday, September 2nd, is 15266. That's 15,266. Thanks again for helping me stay on track here. I love it. Okay, so we will now transition the meeting by reading from the big book, and a special thanks to everybody who has shared. Now we will have Faye B. to please read A Vision for You on page 164, and we'll follow that with a serenity prayer. Thank you.
Good morning. This is Faye B., a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. And thank you for